Welcome to the Irish Country Living Podcast.
Hello, and welcome back to the Irish Country Living Podcast. I'm your host, Anne O'Donoghue. Today's guest on the podcast is someone Country Living readers will know very well. It's our beauty columnist, Dolly Buckley. A lot of readers will know Dolly from the tips that she gives out in Country Living and you're guiding people through skincare and the best makeup practices. But behind that, Dolly has a very, very interesting story herself. She was a celebrity makeup artist in London for years, doing everybody up from pop stars to prime ministers. She actually worked with John Major for a number of years. And she hopped and left and moved to a beef and tillage farm in County Offaly. I won't put in any spoilers as to exactly how that happened. But Dolly rebuilt her business again when she moved to Ireland some 20-something years ago. And now she works in weddings, photo shoots, and of course writes in Country Living. And we had a chat all about her very interesting and humorous exploits around London, moving to the farm and how she had to settle back in again, and also the importance of having a go-getter attitude in life. So enjoy the podcast. Good morning, Dolly. Welcome to the Irish Country Living Podcast.
Well, thank you very much for having me on.
I was thinking this morning, Dolly, about the first time I met you, and it was at the last time the ploughing championships were on, and you were the most glamorous person I have ever seen at the ploughing championship. You're doing a makeup demo for us, and I can remember you wearing a lovely orange dress, and you were just, you were amazing. You stood out, really representative of you, I think.
Well, thank you. That's very kind.
You've a fantastic story to tell, Dolly. You went from being a celebrity makeup artist in London to living on a farm in Offaly. We'll kind of get to that a bit more later. But just to start at the start, you wouldn't have been a million miles from a farm growing up yourself. Your mum had horses, did she?
That's right. Yes, I grew up in the south of England in Sussex. And my mother breeds Connemara horses. So I rode for years until I was about 18. I did a lot of side saddle and show ponies. So yes, very much from a horsey background.
And how did you get into being a makeup artist? Did you always love makeup growing up, I suppose, first of all?
Absolutely. I loved makeup. And when I left school, I got a scholarship to the Guildhall School of Music for singing. And I was doing a secretarial course as well. And I just thought, you know, I've had enough of this. I don't really know what I want to do. So I decided to go traveling for a year. So off I went with my rucksack on my back and I went to Australia. And I was living in Sydney and I met, on Bondi Beach, I met this lovely girl who was a very established makeup artist. And I just thought, God, that's the job for me. You know, it just sounded perfect. She was working in film and television. It's something I've always been passionate about. I mean, my friends used to call me Dolly Rainbow because I was always very colourful and love my makeup. And so that's what I did. When I got back from my year away, I got myself onto a course at Grease Paint School of Makeup in Ealing in London. And from the moment I walked through the doors, I just knew that this was for me.
And so you did your course, and then was it a hard industry to get started? Don't you say celebrity makeup artist, it sounds so glamorous. Was it glamorous from the off, or what was it like getting started there?
No, it was very difficult. What I did was, from just starting at the college, there used to be a notice board in the hallway, and there were forever jobs, and it was always saying, you know, a freebie short film for a student, you know, student film to be made, or out of work actors who needed new headshots taken. And they'd always say, you know, no money, but we'll you know, get you a coffee and a sandwich. And so I always said yes to all these jobs. So all the way through my college, I never got paid once, but any job going, I remember there was a Dick Whittington panto for Christmas in Hammersmith. It was miles from where I lived. And I mean, I was having to get buses and dragging my makeup kit. And I didn't even have a proper kit then. But I made the best of it. And I slightly sort of porcupined and said thought I was better than I was. But it was the only way I was going to learn. And in fact, that particular panto, they paid me in McDonald's and coffee. But I didn't mind. I learned. So that when I actually left college, after a year, I worked out thinking, well, actually, I've got a bit of experience under my belt, and I was sort of, you know, ready for the off. So it did pay off, but it was very unglamorous.
And after college, then where did you start working in terms of makeup?
So after college, I actually got myself an agent. Her name was, in fact, she's still now in the West End. And you just take any job you can get. And in fact, my very first paid job was I was told it was just one girl. It was for a newspaper article. So I just traveled all the way to Tooting to this really grotty studio. But I was delighted. I knew I was going to get paid for the job, and walked in and I found it was actually for a page three girl.
Very interesting.
So it was all kind of embarrassing. She was the sweetest girl you've ever met. And anyway, I did the job. I was there for an hour and a half, did her makeup and hair. She looked absolutely beautiful. And I got £50. And I mean, back in those days, that's a lot of money. And so I do remember not telling my parents about the action. I said it was a very nice article for the Country Life, the files. And it was a great job, but it was it was never very glamorous to start with. It was a lot of hard work and a lot of travel and plodding around London. But I just loved it. So I was prepared to do it. You know, I absolutely loved being a makeup artist. Yeah, still do to this day.
You were putting in the hard graft to start with.
Absolutely. Right. I mean, and it is one of those jobs, you know, you really have to love what you do because it's very competitive. But yes, 30 years down the line, I still love being a makeup artist.
And then, Dolly, how did you go about breaking into the more kind of magazine, the TV work, the celebrities and things like that?
Well, I'm very lucky. My job has taken me, you know, I've worked with pop stars, prime ministers, sports stars, and I've worked in film, TV, commercials. I've just been very lucky. I've just had a steady flow of work. I mean, I've travelled all over Europe with various jobs. And you get to see, the great thing about being a makeup artist, you know, you get to see places that other people wouldn't see. You know, I've been in five-star hotels and multi-million pound houses of celebrities. You know, and that's really exciting. You know, and great moments. I remember doing a job for VIP magazine and I'd been flown out to Portugal and we were doing a big shoot with Cliff Richard and lovely Cilla Black, bless her, and Gloria Hinefood, Daniel Magella O'Donnell. You know, and after the shoot, they said to stay for a glass of champagne and you're suddenly really pinching yourself. You're there in this incredible multi-million pound beautiful vineyard in Portugal with all these celebrities, you know, and I'm just a humble makeup artist. So it's really exciting. So great sort of pinch yourself moments.
And is there any celebrity that you've made up over the years that stands out over everyone else that you're particularly excited about?
God, I mean, again, the list goes on. I mean, I've met some really incredible people and I have worked with prime ministers, John Major being one of them and his family. So you get to see what goes on behind the doors of Number 10, which is, you know, it's not an easy job being a prime minister. So, you know, and people like Tina Turner, I mean, the absolute legends. I worked with her at Pinewood and Joan Collins. Gay Byrne, actually, I did his last ever official photographs with his lovely family. And it was such a privilege and an honour to have met him and work with him. Ryan Tubbardy, Christa Burr, I mean, the list goes on.
And you were just kind of alluding there to some of the political work, that, like political makeup work did. I know that you probably can't splash all or anything. We won't ask you for that. But how do you come to be doing the, like, I presume you were doing the Prime Minister's makeup before you go out and do a speech or be on the television, things like that.
Yes. What happened was I was living in Fulham. This was in the mid 90s and I was living with my flatmate Gibbles and we'd actually been out on a Friday night. And, you know, had a few glasses of wine and a pizza. And I got home and back in those days, you had your answer phone and it was flashing. And there was a message from a lovely Davina Smythe Pearson. She said, you know, hello, I'm the private secretary to the prime minister. And, you know, when you first hear it, I thought, this must be a bit of a joke. You know, why would they be ringing me? And about a month before I made up, and again, it was actually the last official photos of John Smith, who was the leader of the Labour Party. And I'd done these pictures for the Telegraph and we'd kind of changed his style and he really looked fantastic in the shots. And I think they'd seen these pictures because the next thing Downing Street was on, I don't know how they found me, but they did. And so the next morning I replayed the message back and I said to Gil with my flatmate, well, I better ring. You know, I presume this is the Royal McCoy. And I rang and sure enough, the private secretary answered the phone and said, hello, Dolly, we were expecting your call. And we were wondering, the prime minister's doing an interview with Sky Television. And could you come to Downing Street and do his makeup?
And you went?
Yes. Yeah, so I went along. And again, even looking back, you're so naive. I mean, I looked, my dress sense was all very, very bright. I was sort of like a Spice Girl crossed with, you know, Boy George, very flamboyant, very loud. And I can remember walking into my flatmate's room and I was wearing a bright yellow dress and these glitter yellow Spice Girl trainers and flowers in my hair. And I said, look, do I look all right? You know, I'm going to Downing Street. And she went, yes, yes, you look fine. Bright pink lipstick. And looking back now, I'm sure the Prime Minister of England thought, who on earth is this girl called Dolly looking like a rainbow arriving in Downing Street? But you know, I did his makeup on and off for about 6 years just for official events and his family, and I got to know them quite well. And in fact, through that, which was wonderful, I got to work for Hello Magazine. The Prime Minister asked me to do his daughter's makeup, Elizabeth, for her big wedding. So I got to, it was like a 10-page spread in Hello Magazine. And in those days, that was a big, big deal. It was fantastic. And then I was actually invited to the wedding afterwards, which again was fantastic.
And I heard on the grapevine that during that period, the Telegraph ran a story and with the headline, "This is the woman who makes the Prime Minister blush."
That's absolutely right. Yes, that's true. Because you see, what goes on tour and the worst stays on tour, and it's very, you've got to be very careful, especially when you're working with big celebrities. And from a very, very early doors, my father had always said to me, you know, you never say a word about anything that you see on these jobs. And of course, I never would. I'd be very honourable. And when I finished working at Downing Street, I was actually, the day that John Major left Number 10, I said goodbye to him 2 days prior, and I thought, well, that's the job over. And it was when Blair then got into Downing Street. And actually, because I'd been working, we were doing the election campaign, and so I had been working nonstop for about 5 weeks, so I hadn't seen any of my friends. And then, so the night I finished working at Downing Street and said goodbye to John Major, and I wasn't sure if he was going to get in again, in power again. So I had gone out with my friends and had an absolutely, you know, mad night in London, you know, fell in the door in the early hours of the morning. And I actually crashed out on the sofa in my flat. And I could hear this phone ringing. It was about 6 in the morning. But my flatmate was shaking me, Dom, and was saying, "Dolly, it's Special Branch. Lenny, the Special Branch from Downing Street is on the phone. They need to speak to you." And he said, "Dolly, you know, I don't know if you've been watching, but, you know, the boss hasn't won the election. We need you in Downing Street. He's got to face the world and he hasn't had any sleep. And, you know, we'll send a car for you in half an hour." So I don't know how I pulled it together. I remember drinking a can of Coke that I found in the fridge and a couple of Nurofen, and jumped in the shower and dollied myself up again and had to arrive in Downing Street. And it was an extraordinary situation to be in.
And you were talking there earlier, Dolly, just about your sense of style and how you like colour and you weren't afraid to be exuberant with how you dressed. Like you were meeting with all these celebrities, politicians. Do you think it actually helps to just be yourself in those situations and just be like, this is who I am? You know what I mean? You didn't try to fit in, or you didn't wear a beige blazer and a black pants or anything.
No, I absolutely, that was always me, always very, I mean, the name Dolly suits, actually. I mean, I was always very bright, and that's what I love. I mean, I just love colour. I love to sort of stand out. But when I came to live here in Ireland, it just didn't really work. I also have a bright pink car. Her name's Shirley, MG Midget.
You still have the car?
Yes, I still have her. Yes, but she,
I love it.
So driving around Edenderry, it just caused havoc. I mean, mayhem. People would just be, who on earth is this girl? You know, and I used to always have flowers in my hair and be wearing a luminous pink, you know. So I've had to tone down very much so. I do still have pink flowery welly boots, though. I have to say I do. But I have tried to tone down a bit. And even standing at the school gates, one of the mothers once said to me, when the kids were at the little local school down the road, and she said, "Oh, Dolly, you're just like a ray of sunshine when you stand at the school gates, and you've always got your lipstick on." So I said, "Well, I never go anywhere without my lipstick."
it's a good philosophy to have. So I suppose coming to that second part of the story about how you went from this glamorous life in London doing celebrities' makeup to moving to the farm in Offaly, there was a certain man who was quite involved in that transition.
Very much so. My gorgeous farmer, Frank, my lovely Irish farmer, who we met in London. He was importing Irish food to pubs and restaurants. And my flatmate at the time, Paul Hawkins, who is a celebrity florist, and he was actually doing a private dinner party for the Queen at Claridge's. And he was sitting outside the banqueting manager's office, and Frank was sitting couple of seats down because he was waiting to go in and see the banqueting manager to try and get his black and white pudding and his Irish beef into Claridge's. So they kind of got chit-chatting, and Paulie came home and said, "Gosh, Dolly, it's very handsome Irish farmer. He's got a business here in London, and And anyway, I was chatting away to him and I said, look, we're having a party on Saturday night. Do you come along? So the rest is history. We've been married nearly, 21 years and three children. And yes, I mean, it was amazing. So lucky.
And how did you find moving from London to the beef and tillage farm in Offaly? Was it a hard transition?
Yeah, it was really difficult because Frank was working every hour God sent. We were living in the back of a really tumble down old farmhouse and I was 5 months pregnant with Ruby, our eldest daughter. And I just didn't know a soul, and we're very remote here. So, and in fact, what happened was a journalist somehow found out I was living here and I got this phone call to say, would I go on the Marion Finucane show? So, and I'd only been here a couple of months. So I said, yeah, sure. You know, nice to be asked. And I went up to Dublin and I went onto this radio show and lovely Marion. And at the end of the interview, she said to me, Dolly, you know, honestly, how are you finding it living here in Ireland? And I suppose I got suddenly a bit overwhelmed and a bit emotional. I said, if I'm honest, I'm really lonely and I don't know anyone and I'm sort of struggling a bit. I really miss my family. And, you know, and I've gone from being, you know, having such a busy, busy life and working so hard. And then suddenly I'm a farmer's wife and I'm pregnant with our first child. And, you know, I've just sort of lost myself a little bit and I just don't know anyone. Anyway, that was that. And I drove back to the farm thinking, oh, I don't think anyone's even heard the interview. And as I pulled into the farm, I could see on the doorstep, there were three little packages. And I thought, what's that? And there was chocolate cake and there were some buns and some scones and these three notes from various local lovely neighbours who said, hi, Dolly, we've heard you on the Marion Finucane show and you're not alone and please come for tea. And, you know, so it was great. And I've now got some amazing, amazing friends here.
That's lovely that I suppose people did reach out to you in that situation. And obviously things got a bit easier and you settled in more as you were here longer.
Oh, very much so. But, and also the other thing as well, because I've always loved what I do as a job, arriving here in Ireland, knowing absolutely nobody, nobody in the makeup business, I went into the news agent and I said, what is your celebrity magazine? And the lady said, oh, it's a new magazine called VIP. So I bought the magazine, phoned the then editor, Emma O'Reilly Highland, and explained that I was a makeup artist. And I said, I'm 5 months pregnant with my first child, just come to live here. I was wondering if I could come and do a photo shoot for free. And if you think I'm any good, we can go from there. And so she said, that sounds fine, Dolly. And it was the winner of the Rose of Tralee, which again, I'd never even heard of. And it went in the Glenview Hotel. And I arrived and I did the makeup. And I have to say, I've never looked back. I've worked for the magazine now for nearly 20 years. So it was a really lucky break. And it's an amazing magazine and I feel very privileged to work for VIP magazine.
So you hit the ground running when you got to Ireland with regard to business, even though you were 5 months pregnant, there was no let up.
There's no way I was going to sit about. No, I was determined, absolutely determined. And I think that was the only way. And also I used to, I'd make myself go on, because in those days we didn't even have sat nav. So, you know, I'd say, Frank would say, what are you doing today? And I'd say, well, I'm off to the airport, and I'd just find my way to the airport, or I'd go off to Tullamore or wherever on day, just to kind of get a footing as to where I was, because it was such a change. I mean, we were living in central London. We were living in Battersea, and you know, I'd filmed in Ireland, Ashford Castle. I'd done a lovely film over there a few years before, but I really didn't know Ireland at all. So yeah, but I mean it didn't take too long, and I can't even believe with a blink of an eye I can say I've lived here for 20 years. It's just incredible.
And that kind of, I'm getting a real sense that you have a go-getter attitude. Have you always had that?
Very much so, yes. And I think it's really important. I think if you want to succeed in anything in your life, you have to work really hard at it. And particularly in this business, I know a lot of people want to become makeup artists. I mean, I know social media is saturated with makeup artists, but it's a hard industry. But if you want to do well and achieve, you just have to get your head down and work really hard.
And do you think there's any women or men or whatever listening to this? What do you think we should be more, just go and get things and kind of, as I said, display that kind of, put your foot forward and not to be too shy. A bit of confidence, I suppose, is what I'm trying to say is important in life.
Yeah, I think so. and never be scared if you really believe in something. Like I found makeup artistry and I just knew that I absolutely loved it. And it is really important to enjoy what you do, but never be afraid to think I can't do it. You've got to say to yourself, I can actually. And I, you know, if you really want something, then you've just worked really hard and follow your dreams, you know. And I know confidence, especially with, you know, this lockdown, I feel most sorry for our teenagers who are all sitting stuck at home. But, you know, it's an amazing world at them, and let's hope we will get back to how we were. But, you know, just follow your dream and just, yeah, steady plodding, I think, is really important, and work really hard and you'll get there in the end.
I like that phrase, steady plodding, just one foot in front of the other. Keep going. You'll get there eventually.
Definitely.
And how are you finding, obviously, you know, you're in and out of work at the moment with the lockdowns and stuff. How are you finding it, Dolly? Is it a hard transition for someone who would be quite busy?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's since lockdown, all our, I work for a company called the Powder Room Girls. And, you know, there's 12 hairdressers, 12 makeup artists, and we have thousands of weddings through our books every year. We're the elite bridal team in this country. And, you know, every weekend, you know, we'll be busy. You know, our diaries are absolutely full, and I do lots of shoots for VIP magazine. And of course, I write my lovely beauty column for the Irish Country Living, which I adore. And it's your diary is just empty. I mean, everything's cancelled. And then I had a load of weddings in for this year, and I've just had all my April and May weddings, and starting June, everything's been cancelled. So 2022 is looking absolutely chock-a-block. But yeah, so I've got into doing lots of DIY in the house and helping a lot on the farm and doing the garden. Like everybody else, you've got to keep busy. I kind of set goals. Every week I set myself a goal and I say I have got to achieve this. Otherwise, I could get a bit down because I am a real worker. But I miss it. You know, I really miss the bars of getting out. I mean, I actually noticed the other day my makeup box has got dust on the top of it. I mean, it's never had dust on it. And it's always pristine. And I was like, I can't wait to just pick it up, my makeup box, and get out in that car. And off I go to my next job. And I mean, I never know. That's what I love about my job is you never know where you're going to go, who you're going to meet, you know, and I love that about my job.
Well, hopefully it will be sooner rather than later when you're giving it a good dust off, Dolly.
Oh yeah, I'm really hoping. I mean, I have got a good few jobs coming up, and let's hope that, you know, once we all get the vaccine and things, let's hope we can all get back out there and working again.
And in terms of makeup, Dolly, how would you describe your philosophy with regard to makeup? Is it bright colours that you're into? Is it keep it simple? What's kind of your personal philosophy, I suppose, when it comes to makeup?
Well, for me, I think it's about skincare. I think it's really, really important. Drinking loads of water. I mean, I would say to a bride, I'll have a trial with a bride, and I would always say to her, 2 weeks before your wedding day, you need to drink 2 litres of water every single day. And you can see the shock horror and the, gosh, you know, and then I'll send them a little text, you know, the week before saying, I hope you're drinking that water, because it just cleanses the skin and it hydrates the skin. And it really does make your skin look brighter and more radiant. And it's good for you. It cleanses the system. But I myself, I always wear a bright lipstick. And when I can get to a beautician, I'd always have my eyebrows tinted, my eyelashes tinted. You know, a nice bit of foundation, light, and a nice bronzer. But I think as you get older, less is definitely more. And definitely for the 50 plus ladies, keep away from any sort of shimmer or glitter on the eyes, because again, it can be very aging. You know, highlighting around the eyes, be very careful because it can accentuate wrinkles. And also I do think it's important, because I know skincare is expensive, but it is better to get one really good skin cream and an eye cream and stick with it and do it twice a day, put it on twice a day. I mean, you can, No. 7 have a fantastic range, which is, you know, it's a sensible, it's not too expensive. Estee Lauder is amazing. You know, I love Clarins. I mean, there are some great, but if you find a really decent skincare regime, stick with it. You know, people say, oh, just a bit of soap and water and I don't bother. Well, particularly as you get older, you should always use a face cream, always. And on your neck and the back of your hands.
And you were saying there, Dolly, that there is, like, you know, there's social media is almost saturated with makeup advice these days. You were saying there, even like for 50 plus ladies, the advice is different depending, I suppose, on your age, what your own skin is like. You know, you need to, would it be important for people to do a little bit of research, I suppose, into their own case, as opposed to just taking, you know, a blanket, loads of contour, loads of foundation, loads of highlights, you know, really the
more philosophy. Well, again, I mean, because I'm 30 years doing my job, and I'm 51. I actually think I'd love to do a bit more of that to help women, educate women of my age and above on what works for their skin and what colours work for them, because it can be a bit overwhelming, actually. It really can, because there is so much product out there. I can't stress it more. Less is more, makeup wise, as you get older. And you know, tea time eyebrows, and if you can get your eyebrows tinted and shaped to your beautician, obviously, when they're open, and even having an eyelash tint opens up the eye, and it's so quick and easy, and an eyelash tint makes you look fabulous, and it costs what, €15, and it lasts 6 weeks, and it's really flattering to get your eyelashes tinted.
And Dolly, for anybody now, say that that was listening to this that mightn't be too into makeup, or also for someone who might want to invest in just a couple of really good products, what would be the five things, the most important things to have in your kit, I suppose, to invest in? Or even if you're someone who just, you know, like I'm really into makeup, I have more makeup, you know, I'd be clearing it out and giving it away to people. But some people just like to keep it minimal, you know.
Yes. So, well, I mean, a foundation. That's really good. And again, don't scrimp on this. First of all, when you're finding out a foundation that suits you, never test it on the back of your hand, always on your side of your jaw, because that'll be the true color match. And I love the Double Wear Light by Estee Lauder. It's fantastic. And they've got such a great color range. And what's brilliant, they've actually got, you know, some people can have really, really pale skin. Really pale skin, and it's called 01. It's the most fantastic coverage. I use it for my bride. Sometimes you have a bride that's very, very pale skinned. But that is a fantastic foundation. It's well worth the money. It's long lasting. It's flattering. It's a brilliant foundation. And then a blusher, again, more of a bronzer that suits all ages, that's so flattering and long lasting. It's a Bronze Glow by Charlotte Tilbury. Again, it is a little bit more expensive. It's about €45, I think, round and about that. It's Film Star Bronze by Charlotte Tilbury, and it's just brilliant. It gives you a natural glow. It's really flattering. I just love it. I couldn't be without it. And everyone can wear it. You know, it's one for everybody. The soft bronze. MAC lipstick. MAC do some fantastic lipsticks. Now, again, I know some people are a bit nervous of wearing a bright, bright colour. But you know something? It peps you up a bit. If you're feeling a bit down and a bit sad, you don't need to wear much more. But I do advise you to always line your lips with a lip liner. Very important. Line your lips, fill it in, the lip colour with lip liner, and then apply your lipstick, and your lipstick will stay on much better. And don't be scared of a bright colour. But the MAC range, they've actually got... they're called Powder Kiss, is their new lipstick out. And there's a colour called Billion Dollar Smile, which I just think is the best name. And it's a really bright summer pink. And I love that. That's one of my favourites.
I find that as well with the lipstick. You know, if you don't have much time for your makeup, I love red lipstick. And any of my friends or anything would tell you I overwear red lipstick. Because I just find 5 minutes, red lipstick, a bit of foundation, mascara, and it makes you up a lot, you know.
Yes. And you're out the door in 2 seconds. Well, actually, talking of mascara... the L'Oreal Paris Unlimited, it is a brilliant mascara. It is one that just does not budge. Now, it is a waterproof mascara, so I wouldn't advise you to wear it for every day. But if you're somebody that likes mascara, you can put one coat and it really looks great. But then if you want to have a bit more razzmatazz and for your eyes to pop, then two or even three coats. But it doesn't smudge, doesn't budge. It's a brilliant L'Oreal Paris Unlimited black mascara. Absolutely a yes. It's a brilliant mascara. I love it.
Good. A good mascara is important to have.
So a good mascara is important. And then the other little product, which again, people would be nervous because it's quite new. And I did a little IGT video for the Irish Country Living the other day, for you chats for Instagram. It's by Trini London. It's called Miracle Blur. And it's like a little pot of putty. And it's so amazing. What it does, it's kind of a translucent colour, but especially around your mouth, if you've got lines around your mouth, it's kind of like you push it in, you dab it on around the mouth and around the eye area, and it gives you that soft focus, and it just gets rid of the fine lines. And also, if you've got open pores on your nose, which, you know, women can get, and it can be really annoying. You think, oh, how am I going to get rid of them? Well, once you put on a little bit of foundation, just before you've finished your makeup, you just dab a little bit of this Miracle Blur into your pores on your nose and they just disappear. It's absolutely a brilliant product. I love it.
I saw that actually at the weekend. The video is really, really nice. And you can see the difference kind of in the skin when you put it on.
Yeah, it absolutely just, you know, I mean, there are so many products out there, but, you know, those few are ones I'd say are definite for your makeup bag. Absolutely.
And now during these lockdowns, I think, Dolly, do you still put on your makeup? Do you find it gives you a little bit of lift, put on your lipstick in the morning, kind of get, you know, a bit dolled up?
Yeah, always. Well, actually, what I do is I always put a little bit of fake tan, just a tiny bit on my face, maybe twice a week. And, you know, I would really try and drink my water. I try and drink my herbal teas. A great one is slice of lemon in hot water every morning, because that really cleanses. It is about, you know, if your skin tone looks good, if you're taking care of your skin. And then, yeah, I do always have a lipstick. I have a lipstick at the kitchen sink. I have a lipstick in my car door. I have a lipstick, you know, around the house with various lipsticks, because I do like to wear a lipstick. I just think it kind of peps you up and makes you just feel a bit better and a bit of glam. But obviously be careful, because you can't wear lipstick if you're wearing your mask. I would wear lipstick, would be my main go-to, always wear my lipstick.
Well, Dolly, thank you so much for coming on with me today, and thank you so much for sharing your knowledge, and stay bright and keep colourful.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show, and I really appreciate you asking, Jan. So I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thanks, Dolly.
The Irish Country Living Podcast.